The Time Traveler's Guide to Not Getting Caught. Chapter 12, That Time I Went Back in Time with My Babysitter. Now, when you're on a date with the love of your life and you tell her you're a time traveler and she says, prove it, then you better prove it. The problem was that at this point of time, I didn't know if I could actually travel anywhere with another person, so I was a bit conflicted because I didn't want to fail in front of her. I could do the old disappear in front of her routine, but that just seemed tacky at this point of time. No, I would have the guts to at least try to time travel with her, and I would take her somewhere romantic, like Viking time or the Dark Ages. But then I figured, well, if I'm gonna go take her back in time, I should let her choose. So I say, okay, I'll prove it. When and where do you want to go? And she gives me a cute little smirk and says, Elizabethan-era England. My first thought was, I don't know when Elizabethan era is. But my second thought was, well, I can't let her know that. So I ask her what year exactly she wants, and she says 1600. But she says it with the sort of smile that says, we ain't ever going back in time, because all of this is just a joke. So I tell her, okay, let's go back to 1600 London. But first, we have to go somewhere private so people don't see us disappear. And she looks at me like I'm just trying to get her somewhere private. And so I say, trust me. But she gives me a look like, how can I trust you? We just met. So I say, okay, well, how about we just go into this hallway over here? And she glances at the empty hallway and tentatively says, okay, sure. So we head into the hallway. And she looks at me and asks me where my time machine is. And I say, it's this watch right here. I just need to enter the date and find the tudes for where we want to go. And she asks me what tudes are, and I explain that I need to input the latitude and longitude for each location. And she looks at me and says, okay, so do it. So I enter the time and location, and I tell her I've never taken anyone back in time before. And she laughs and says, okay, well, I guess it's always nice to be the first. So I tell her, I think you have to hold on to me for it to work. And she gives me a look like, oh, what a smooth move. So she moves forward and she puts her hands on my shoulders. And I'm about to press confirm, but I quickly stop and she asks me what the problem is. And I say, well, we can't go back in time looking like this. And she asks, okay, well, where are we going to get Elizabethan era clothes? And I ask, well, is there a costume shop anywhere nearby? So she looks up different costume stores that would sell old British clothes, and we find one nearby, so I tell her I can drive her. But then she says she'll just meet me there. And now I'm thinking, well, is she actually going to meet me there, or is she planning on ditching me? So I get to the costume shop, and I'm just sitting in the Ford Focus like I'm some poor person, waiting for the love of my life to show up, when finally I see her, and I'm ecstatic because it means she doesn't find me super creepy. So we go into the costume shop and we look around at all the different clothes from various times in history. And I think to myself, well, this is a good place for us to come back to when we travel to different places in time because they have everything here. But then I think, no, let's just take this one day at a time and see what happens. First we go to 1600 England and then we can think about marriage. So she finds clothes she likes and I tell her it's all on me. And this time around, I have no problem paying for the clothes because I was very rich. Although, part of me still didn't want to have to pay for them because I knew I didn't have to because I could just borrow them, but I did anyway. So I pay for the clothes and we wear them out and she says, okay, nobody's around. Now prove you're a time traveler. And I tell her, okay, let's do this. Just try not to freak out when we get there. So she gets close and puts her hands on my shoulders as I enter the date and tudes. And the watch asked me to confirm. And did I confirm? Oh yeah, I confirmed. And then we were in 1600 London. My first thought was, thank God we both were able to travel back in time safely. And my second thought was, so this is Elizabethan era. My babysitter's fingers dig into my shoulders as her whole body starts shaking, and now I'm thinking, oh no, did the time travel somehow destroy her body? But then I realize it's just her nerves, so I say, it's okay, we're just back in 1600 England. It isn't like we're in some scary time or anything. And then she lets go of me and looks around at everything, and I'm thinking, well, she's definitely gonna start freaking out. Maybe this wasn't such a great idea. But then she looks at me and says, this is so cool! And I wanted to say, marry me, but I didn't. Instead, I say, okay, look, now that we're back in time, there are some rules you need to know so that we don't get caught. And she looks at me with undivided attention, and all I'm thinking is, God, her eyes are so beautiful. I could gaze into those eyes all day. But then I realized that I was looking at her for way too long without saying anything, and that I was probably freaking her out. And then I start to freak out. But then I realized that I just brought her back in time. And even if I was freaking her out, it didn't matter because she had to stay with me or else she'd be stuck in this time period forever. So then I became less freaked out. And then she asks, what's the story behind the time machine? And I say, are you sure you want to hear it all? And she says, yes, tell me it all. So I say, all right, I'm about to tell you a bunch of shit and I know you're going to think none of it's true, but there are two things you need to know about me. The first is that I'm not a liar. I mean, sure, I might be a hypocrite, but just because I'm a hypocrite doesn't mean I'm a liar. And then she quickly cuts me off and she asks for the abridged version. And so I tell her I found this time-traveling watch behind a dumpster when I was evading a bunch of tough guys with knives and guns. And then she starts asking me a lot of in-depth questions about the tough guys with knives and guns. And so I tell her I just don't want to talk about it because I'm still very emotionally scarred by all of it. But the important thing was that they were very scary men and definitely not prepubescent girls. And that I successfully evaded them. So anyway, after we get past all that, I ask her what she wants to see at the turn of the 17th century in London, and she says, Queen Elizabeth. And I say, yeah, that'd be great, but you can't just travel back in time and hope to meet famous historical figures. It isn't like they just find you and invite you to orgies or show you their dicks or anything like that. Then I ask her if she wants to see anything else other than Queen Elizabeth. And that's when she mentions it would be fun to watch one of Shakespeare's plays, and I say, you mean one of Edward de Vere's plays? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a controversy that Shakespeare didn't write all of his plays, but that Edward de Vere may have been the true author. I know because I saw the movie Anonymous that talks about it. Okay, I didn't see the movie, but I saw the trailer and I like to make the reference so that people think I'm smart. So the babysitter and I make our way to the Globe Theater, but I don't know how to acquire tickets because I didn't have any money. I mean, yeah, I was super rich in 2010 time, but I was super broke in 1600. So I tell her, if we want to get in, we're going to have to sneak in. And she asks if it's difficult. And I tell her, well, I once snuck into a high school theater and it wasn't that tough, so I don't suspect this should be any more challenging than that. So we make our way to the back where I spot a door and I motion for her to come in. And we both go in and we find ourselves backstage during one of Shakespeare's plays. And that's when she notices a couple spots open in the crowd. And that's when I realize I have to pee and there's no way I'm gonna make it through an entire Shakespearean play with a full bladder. So I tell her to save me a spot while I go to the bathroom. So I search for the bathroom and I find one. But as I try to open it up, the door's locked and I'm thinking, what's with all these single stall bathrooms? I just want to pee in a trench like Napoleon's army. And then, after several tens of seconds, the door opens. And lo and behold, it's William Shakespeare. And my first thought was, holy shit, I should get his autograph. And my second thought was, or is it Edward de Vere? Either way, I put my hand out to shake his hand, but then I pull it back because I realize he just went to the bathroom and it would be unhygienic to shake his hand. So now he's looking at me all indignant, like I'm a guy who just offered to shake his hand but then pulled it away. And I totally understand where he's coming from because I can see why he might think that I was being rude, but I also think he didn't really look at things from my perspective, which you'd think a writer would have done, but whatever. So Shakespeare sneers at me and walks away. And I figure, okay, I might as well go pee now. So I go into the bathroom and my first thought was, oh my God, something died in here. And my second thought was, damn, William Shakespeare has some gnarly poop. And mind you, this is coming from a guy who held a soldier's feces in his hand for several minutes before smearing it all over his best friend's butt. So I go to pee when I realize that William Shakespeare had done to this toilet what I had done to the toilet in New Delhi, and now I was conflicted. Do I spend one more second in this godforsaken place and relieve myself? Or do I try to go the entire play with a full bladder? I decided to hold my breath and pee. And so I hold my breath as I empty my bladder, but my bladder's so full that I just keep on going, and I realize that I'm gonna have to take another breath, but I'm deathly afraid of having to breathe in because I feel like I might actually die if I do. But then I realize if I don't exhale and inhale, that I would certainly pass out. And the last thing I wanted was to pass out in this bathroom. And so I take a deep breath, and I swallow my vomit as I finish peeing, and then I rush out of there. Now, by this point of time, I'm a little disoriented. I mean, I had just met William Shakespeare and then breathed in his poop smell. And let me tell you this, his bowels were as potent as his poetry. And so now I realize I can't find the babysitter at all. I mean, I'm looking all around, trying to figure out how to get to her, but I make my way through backstage, and that's when I look up and I see that everyone in the audience is staring at me, and I realize that I am standing on stage during one of Shakespeare's plays. In fact, I was now a character, but I had no idea which one. So now I had two choices. I could run off and look like an idiot and ruin the whole play. Or I could just start talking and pretend like I was in fact a character in this play. I decided to do the latter. And now I feel like I should explain why I did that instead of the more obvious choice of running off stage. And the answer is, well, when I was in high school, I got rejected for a role in Hamlet, and ever since then, I felt like I needed to show my worth. And this was the time to do it. The problem was, I had no idea what play I was currently a part of, and so it made it quite impossible to even pretend to do it. So I just start reciting dialogue from Hamlet. You know the part where he's looking at the skull, except I didn't have the skull, and I wasn't sure if by this time Shakespeare, or Edward de Vere, had even written Hamlet. So I could have been pulling a Back to the Future Part 1, where Marty plays Johnny B. Goode, and then his cousin overhears it and calls up his cousin and says, "Chuck, it's Marvin! Your cousin Marvin Berry?" You know, so that we all know it's Chuck Berry's cousin, even though most of us don't even know who Chuck Berry is. "You know that sound you're looking for? Well, listen to this." And then supposedly Chuck Berry is a plagiarizer and steals Marty McFly's song. So now I'm thinking, is everyone in the audience wondering why I'm reciting a monologue from Shakespeare's Hamlet play? Or is Shakespeare listening to me and thinking, "That sounds pretty good. I should steal the monologue and use it for my own." And as I finish up the monologue, another character comes up next to me and gives me that look. You know the look. It's the look you give someone on stage when you realize they aren't really part of the play, but that they're reading off a monologue from Hamlet. Well, that's the look the guy gave me. And then I look out at the audience and I say, "And now I must leaveth forevereth." And so I run off the stage and out of the theater. As I exited, I had a mix of feelings. My first thought was, did anyone think I gave a good performance? And my second thought was, I should find the babysitter because she'll be stuck here forever if I don't. And then I hear a beautiful voice say, "My God, that was the best Hamlet monologue I have ever heard." I turn and I realize my babysitter is standing there looking at me, all excited by my performance. And so I ask her, "You don't think it was a bit over the top?" And she tells me it was great up until I ran off stage. And then a part of me gets annoyed by the criticism, but I don't show it because it's our first date and I figure I'd just let it slide. And then she looks at me, and I'm thinking, holy shit, this is gonna be our first kiss. But then she says, "You look familiar. Have we met before today?" And then I tell her who I really am, but that I was from 10 years in the future, and so I was all grown up, and that I had gone back in time because I had always loved her. And she looks at me like she had just traveled back in time 400 years, only to find out the guy she traveled back in time with was actually the teen boy she used to babysit, but he was from the future, so he was actually 10 years older than she remembered. That's the look she gave me. So I'm standing there, nervous she's gonna call me a creep and demand I take her back home and to never chase her in my rented Nissan Maxima ever again. But instead, she smiles and asks, "Where to next?" Thanks for listening, and please subscribe and rate the podcast to help me get more of the positive attention I so sorely need. Follow the show on Instagram at Time Traveler's Guide Podcast, and me at Anonymous Time Traveler 69. New episodes out Thursday nights at 8.